Here we are, another week without Raven or Gar.
I know, Gar's been way too busy with work lately, I hate it.
Guess we'll just have to remain the cool kids club without him.
Be like the cool kids, like the cool kids. Sorry, that's just a song I remember.
I know that song, kind of.
Whoa, Cross Dragon, calm the fuck down!
Oh shit, invasion!
Yes. I got the Cross Dragon, motherfuckers, thanks courtesy of Ichi for Christmas.
Yeah, and
I'm Banjo Ryuga, motherfuckers!
And I got the Pandora Box Panel. And the Build Phone.
And Kaizo Goresha.
We both got Kaizo Goresha.
Because it's fucking awesome.
You idiots, we've all Kaizo'd! Now I have a Canon full bottle, finally. Except for Bat and Cobra.
Wow, sorry this episode got loud. Cue the roll call!
We're live!
Zenkai Gan!
Connect.
Loading.
Broadcast.
Equipment Wheeler. Bluecaster. Cheetah's Zeal.
Loyal and Loud. Beatmaster Lake.
One Little Spark of Courage. Dreamcaster. Global South Persia.
Broadcasting loud and opinionated perspectives across the internet.
Radio Sentai Cast Ranger.
On air!
Welcome everyone to Radio Sentai Cast Ranger episode 176.
That was 177.
Is it?
I think so.
Oh, that's pretty sure.
Yeah, it is.
It's 177, oh. I think, yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, I checked.
I was wrong then.
Ha ha! Foiled! So, tin foiled, even.
Wow.
Would you prefer to be aluminum foiled?
Do you think he likes better to pet here or to pet here?
I think both.
I don't know why I just said that. I can't believe we're
she was pointing to his head, the Cross Dragon's head and tail.
I'm sorry, we're recording.
I'm gonna wear my builder for this episode. Fuck it.
You can have him back.
Oh, that's okay. I told you, you're babysitting the Cross Dragon tonight.
Alright, so today we are talking about build episode 13.
Oh!
Q Ranger episode 40, I believe? Yes.
It is 40, yeah.
And our topic for week 2 of Decacember 3, the Decacembering, because fuck it, I don't care anymore, is Space Squad Zero, Girls in Trouble, which is a side movie that leads up into the Gabon Decaranger movie.
And boy,
it was incredibly violent.
I was not expecting that
at all. Yeah, no, I heard things, but I
didn't
wasn't...
know what to expect, and it definitely wasn't a bunch of death.
Death! By eggs!
By eggs?
It's a YouTube,
it's a YouTube poop. Dark Knight Returns.
Oh my god, I remember that now! God darn it.
Your choices are exile or exile, exile. Death!
By eggs!
Yeah. What about an invisible
All right, let's go right into the build discussion.
A lot happened this time.
So Ichi is Bloodstark.
Wait, I am?
No, not you. Soichi.
All right, gotcha.
Sorry, I meant to say, Soichi is Bloodstark.
There you go.
I'm
Ichi Star. No, get it right.
Ichi is better than So-So.
Yeah.
It's pretty. It's confirmed.
No, it's so fucking Ichi. Out there.
We were right. We were right.
Yeah, I don't know.
Sento, you fool! You trusted him when he said he wasn't a Faust agent.
I know, and you know what's
and
funny?
And then it got way worse.
No, it's funny. Like, he even said, like, episode 4, you're like, Soichi's a fucking Faust agent. Like, he has to be.
At one point, he says to Gentoku, like, as a fellow founding member of Faust. So now I'm like, what, did Soichi, Gentoku, and Takumi all start Faust together?
Yes. You know what's funny? I even found a video on YouTube that, like, it sadly,
Faust?
Like, all the footage that they were using was not subbed, but it was...
all of the compelling evidence against
him? The compelling evidence, and just, like, when Soichi went to his part-time job, and then, like, when Bloodstark was there, and then he comes back, and, like...
His part-time job as a villain.
Yeah, he was a part-time villain! God damn it.
You know what's funny, too? I feel like Misora knows.
There was that weird, like, criminalizing shot of her looking really sad.
It's the devil as a part-timer.
And now... You know what? It makes sense too, because like when Soichi was like Bloodstark was going like Aniki, like I can totally see Soichi saying that, just going Aniki.
Plus, he always tried to talk so like hip and edgily.
He seemed too cool to be anyone except Soichi.
He seemed to be too cool for school.
Too cool and cruel.
Yes, but just oh man, like you know that it's cool.
I am actually 200% okay with this, because I like Soichi and I like Bloodstark.
So there you go, Ichi. You found your favorite character.
Yep.
That's how I feel, too. I like...
Which means he's probably gonna die real soon.
I hope to God by Night Rogue's hands.
He seems a little, like, curious, so that's not a good sign.
I know, right?
Like, he's even got glasses.
He's jokey, he's got glasses.
He dies on Christmas.
He turns into a bike.
He turns into a bike?
No, I'm joking.
So we got a fucking awesome fight between Night Rogue and Bloodstark.
All I could think was he's tall, he's got glasses, he turns into a bike. I didn't say a name, but you thought
I've seen that.
Yes.
Yeah, just like the fight was incredible between these two. Like they were just going all at it. The angles were really nice. Like freaking just Bloodstark like goes to rival mode, just like fires with one hand, like whacks him with the rifle, and Night Rogue does like his like bat upside down.
Yeah,
moves
one
and
of them
stuff.
Did a bat move, and the other did a cobra move. They actually did stuff that had to do with their animal.
I love it, and they actually were commenting on the fact that even though the trans steam system is a higher hazard level than build system is by default, it is a fixed level, which
so they
means
can't increase,
just... they're both at the same level that is still currently higher than build. Which meant that the winner of their fight would be determined by who's the better fighter, and Stark is apparently just a better fighter.
Which makes me curious about like how the Sklash driver is gonna like work. They're built like with their hazard level.
You know why? We shouldn't talk too much about that because
Nagar's not gonna listen.
No, I know, but this is the non-spoiler show. You know.
Yeah, it's true. That's like thinking about like the scenes that we saw.
Let's just put it this way. We know who one user of it's going to be, and there hasn't been the other so far.
That's true.
That's why I'm afraid.
Maybe Bloodstark's Grease.
I want it to be Nabushima.
Nabushima.
Anyways, hooray, the opening is back. We're not going to get another half year of no opening.
And with Cross for like a second, like a literal split
and Cross
second.
Exists.
Is that why we didn't have the episode last week, Toei? Was so you could just shove Cross into like
it
1 second of footage?
It took us 2 weeks to extract a 1 second clip to put into the opening.
I hope they extend it though with him, because like, you know, he's important.
Yeah.
Let him be on for longer than a second.
The other thing about the opening, we were right when we noticed that, like, during the part where it introduces all the characters and there's, like, essence traveling through the tubes.
Yeah.
How Soichi was shown with red essence in the frames.
Yeah.
So there, we were right about that hint as well.
Yeah. Oh, it's just so cool that he's Bloodstark. I'm so glad, like, we both were like, oh, it's him. All the evidence is fucking there. And then just, it was true. And I was like, yes! I was right!
I just like what the show did when after they baited him out of the I like how he locked the fridge with the tiny little hook from the inside, and then they bait him out with his favorite food, which is apparently grilled horse mackerel.
It looks pretty good.
But then, like, when Sento's talking about the phone call, he's like, yeah, Nabushima told me who Stark was, blah, blah, blah. And during all of those scenes, Soichi's face is hidden due to the camera angle, so... You wouldn't be able, if he had reacted poorly to it, no one would have seen it.
Yeah, I never noticed that. And you know what's funny too? Like at first he's like, oh yeah, like it was Bloodstark, and I'm like at first I was like, oh man, like that's what he told him, and then like halfway through the episode I'm like, wait, maybe Sento just said that.
No, yeah, because he wouldn't have reacted that badly if all he said was that it was
Bloodstark.
Stark.
Yeah.
Because like they could have put two and two together and assumed it was Stark.
Oh, yeah,
there's
they zoomed in on the coffee beans, and I was like, I know who the fuck it is.
Yep. So, we get to see Sento and Soichi talking about the cafe being their kairubasho, their, like, place to come back to. And we get a flashback of Sento's first transformation into Bill.
It was cute. Yeah,
that's about how you'd react at your first transformation.
Yeah, like, it was cool seeing him actually, like, shaking the bottles, and then, like, he's seeing the equations, and, like, he's like, all right, I'm not going crazy.
Which is great, because it confirms to us, the viewers, that, oh, thank God, the math is really there.
Yeah, it just happens.
Effect. And I just love how, like, when he's just like, but Hedging! He just, like, says it in a hurried tone because he has no idea what's happening.
Yeah, and it's a cool attention to detail is it was the bill that Ichi noticed. It was the bill driver before it could detect best matches, so it just literally just went rabbit tank, and then he just
did Henshin. Which makes me pissed all over again that anything that isn't a best match doesn't at least get the names reset. It plays the stupid trial form jingle.
Yeah, like, they should have just had it go, like, Kaizoku Tank!
Yeah, like, why don't they do that?
I don't know. I think it was just to save production costs and stuff like that.
Speaking of things they're not doing, Blaze in our Discord chat just mentioned that, albeit only a couple times so far, no time when Ryuga has done his Henshin has there been math equations flying around.
It's because Ryuga's dumb.
Like, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think he actually shakes the bottle before he puts it in and transforms.
No, he does. He goes, and then Cap... Cross Dragon.
I feel it's because his transformation has too many parts to it as opposed to build, so they just don't have time for it.
Because
he's got to shake it, he's got to put in the dragon, he's got to put the dragon in the belt, he's got to crank it.
Also, Ryuga is just not as smart as Sento is, so.
but we got what I enjoyed very much, our first double Henshin.
Yeah, no, that was great. That was really cool. And then we got, like, a funny joke with them where, like, they're trying to, like, input, like, a password on a keypad. And it's just like, oh, I can't do it! These gloves are too fucking thick! And he's like, use your pinky!
Yeah,
and he's like, oh, okay!
That was pretty great.
I'm surprised the scientists didn't think of that.
No, but that's hilarious that they, like, made a mention that, like, yeah, sometimes these suits are hard to work in.
Yeah. So. I actually really hope that they have that kind of relationship going forth where they're, like, fighting together and, like, assisting each other, even in non-combat tasks.
I just know that, like, fucking just Ryuga's gonna, like, just something's gonna tear those two apart and they're just
gonna absolutely
fight each other.
It's a rider show. The riders will fight. It's unquestionable.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, just, like, going back to, like, the Night Rogue and Bloodstark fight, it was just, like, funny how Bloodstark was just, like, giving him so much shit, just being like, you know, like, I'm better than you. Like, don't, like... Like, and Genji's like, yeah, but we're evenly matched. He's like, so? I'm more skilled than you.
Yeah, I mentioned.
And just like, yeah, go fuck yourself. So, and Gintoku's like, what the fuck? And he's like, yeah, I'm taking over. I'm keeping Pandora's box. Like, blah, 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 fuck you. And he's like, what?
And one other thing I noticed about the flashback as to Build's first transformation, he was fighting the Square Smash, which was the one that became Comic later.
Yeah.
But the fact that he had to gain Comic by fighting the Square Smash in the earlier episode means he must not have defeated the Smash and or taken its essence during that fight. I guess he didn't know how to do that yet.
Or maybe that was a hologram.
I doubt it. He came back pretty visibly beaten up.
It was a physical hologram.
it was infinite.
Well, no, that reminds me of like a Star Wars comic where... Some guy, like, okay, like, you know who Darth Maul is, right? Like,
yes.
Red. Yeah, okay. So, there's a guy who found his body, took his brain, and then made him, not even fucking joking you, a physical hologram that Luke fought.
Okay.
So, it was a physical hologram of Darth Maul that he could actually fight.
It's Star Wars. They have free blank checks.
Well, it's also non-canon as fuck. So.
In a sea of non-canon things, including the only parts I care about, the Young Jedi Knights novels.
Yeah.
Well, those are non-canon.
Yep, everything in the expanded universe is non-canon. So, but yeah, we also get introduced to Octopus Light, which it was actually pretty interesting, because Sento, well, he knew, so he wanted to, like, kind of, like, one-up Soichi on, like, you know, something, so he's just like, yeah, well, you know my shit, huh? Well, I'm gonna show you something you don't know about, and then he just fucking goes Octopus Light on his ass.
And it was weird, because at first I was like, wait, where did he get light from? But then I remembered, and I was talking with people in our Discord, they pointed out that he did have light sitting on his shelf in a very early episode.
And he, like, oh, and then he secretly told Misora to purify Octopus. so.
But what I'm questioning is, he knew that this was the quote-unquote last bottle, that it was the 20th full bottle.
Yep.
What sort of evidence leads anyone to believe that the 20th is the last one?
Exactly, like we're still getting Smuffa-woof.
Exactly, like, the only thing I can see... Excuse me.
Bless you. Oh, holy shit.
The only thing that would point to the idea of there being 20 full bottles is the fact that there are two Pandora box panels, which means there are 20 slots total.
But there could also be more panels. I mean, it's a box.
Exactly. The panels respawn, which we've seen. And we know for a fact that there are lots more best matches because we've seen them in magazine scans. I won't talk about them, but Smawful Wolf was one that was shown in the show already.
Yep.
Which means there's even more reason for Sento to not think Octopus was the last bottle.
Mm-hmm.
The show, come on, everything's been good so far. Don't start to break down now.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, Octopus Light.
Still no.
I know you don't like it, even though it's the first pink cannon bottle.
I know. I'm so sad. It's just, it's ugly.
Like,
it's fucking ugly.
I think the eye for Octopus is weird.
No.
But I'm sort of getting used to the shoulder because it looks kind of like a shoulder cape. And I gotta admit, it's useful in battle.
If there's one thing I like of Octopus Light, it's probably like the tentacle shoulder. Like that's cool. Yeah. That's like, what I'm won't deny about. That, but other than that, just the. No.
I like the light side. I
think how they make a best match is because they're contrasting, because Octopus sprays ink, which implies darkness, and then there's light, which is the polar opposite. Because when he did his Hisatsu, he like bathed him in ink to surround him with darkness, and then blinding.
Yeah, see, that's why like I want to know, like, look at all the best matches, just like what makes these two like work well together. So like, why does a fire truck and a hedgehog work well together? Like, why is fucking...
That's the thing. For several of, especially the early ones, it was how their elements interacted with the final attack.
It's like Hawk Gatling. That works well together because, like, hawks, they see really well. And then, you know, you can shoot better when you have good vision. So...
It matches because you can shoot birds.
So, like...
You can shoot birds.
Like, what the fuck does a pirate and a train have to do with each other?
Right?
What the fuck does a... Like... They said for Rocket Panda, it was like, oh, because, you know, fireworks are made in China, and, like, pandas really, are from China.
Is that the reason?
Yeah, that's one of the reasons.
Fuck this show!
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of obtuse.
And, like, Rabbit Tank is a reference to an anime about, like, a tank anime, and one of the main characters is, like, a rabbit that pilots a tank.
The answer is, don't think about it, because it will hurt your brain.
And then, yeah, so then they recover the full bottles, Pandora box, and, like, I love that fucking Ryuga just, like, packages it up like a package.
I will lovingly wrap your knickknacks in bubble paper.
Yeah, he actually has it in bubble wrap, I guess, in case he drops it.
That is a line from Liar Liar, by the way.
Maybe to disguise it?
And then, like, they come back, and then Misora's just staying there looking all kind of, like, sad, but, like, I think over because she knows that Sento knows, like, about Soichi, I think.
Here's the thing.
But she just goes like, welcome back.
It's hard to say if she knows that he's Bloodstark because she participated in the discussion about Takumi being Bloodstark.
Mm-hmm.
So either she doesn't know or she's real good at playing game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like,
I'm prepared for either at this point.
Yeah. But it was a really feelsy moment because, like, it felt like Sento, like, he knew he wouldn't hear that from Soichi anymore, so
Misora is here to welcome him home.
Yeah, so Misora, yeah, and so I think that meant a lot to him. So
I like
that,
it.
That was really cool.
It forged the Misento ship.
And then, of course, Soichi walks, runs, and, oh my god, it's the bottles in the Pandora box! How the fuck did you do this?
Oh my god, you got it! I was surprised!
You totally didn't just take this from me just now. Like 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, by the way, we bought, like, a shit ton of food on your money. Here, have one slice!
Yeah, have some pizza.
Yeah, pizza is actually really expensive in Japan. I don't know if...
Yeah, he had several pizzas.
Yeah, I found out about that randomly looking online for, like, stuff about Japanese pizza. But it is, like, apparently to get it delivered, it's, like, $40.
Christ.
Like, it's really expensive to have pizza, so it's, like, a luxury food there.
Also, like, Bloodstark escaped using, like, shooting a cobra out of his chest. And then, like, it you went around and just went, whoop-sip!
You mean he summoned Venosnaker?
Yeah, pretty much.
It's according to Noble, it was the exact same model.
I mean...
Just with less spikes and green.
I mean, you know what? They have the CGI effect.
Why the fuck not? You know what? I'd do it if I was in that situation, so why not? Props to you for saving some money.
See, there you go. That has to be bonus effect parts. So for Night Rogue, I've been complaining about this like all week. For Night Rogue figure art as a bonus, they just needs to come with his chair. Because I just want to sit him in his chair. Awesome. And then Bloodstark should just come with his little fucking snake thing.
The snake.
You have the model for the Venosnaker. Reuse it.
Did they ever put out a toy of Venosnaker?
They put out a toy of every single Ryuki rider and their respective contract monster.
Christ.
Yeah, and then you can take...
Oh, yeah, I remember seeing Magna Giga on Amazon.
Yeah, and you can make the three combined...
Genocider?
You can make the Genocider.
Holy shit!
Yeah. It's cool.
It's a rhino with a snake head and a stinger tail.
Yep.
It's fucked up. Worst Megazord ever.
It's fucking huge, too. Yeah, it's neat.
So Soichi steals away all of the full bottles, the Pandora's box, and panels in the night... In a fucking actual Japanese burglar bag, no less.
And that's how the fuck we just were like, well, we now know!
Yeah, like, I mean, those bags, actually, I didn't know those were a burglar thing.
They're, like, in a lot of fiction, and bags with that pattern are, like, traditional robber
bags.
Like
in Pokemon Red and Blue, you can fight burglars, and they have
and
those
I've
bags.
Also, yeah, I've also, there's also, the...
I think in things like Gunbari Goemon as well.
Spiso had one in Monster Rancher.
Yeah,
exactly.
And there's the yokai that makes you that steals stuff. He also has.
It's a cultural thing.
Yeah. And Komasan.
Komasan does too. That's why I was just thinking like they don't steal. They just. It's just an old timey pattern, I guess.
Yeah.
And of course, Sento, the smart smug motherfucker, was up waiting.
Oh, fuck you, going my part-time job.
Well, you won't believe that anymore, will you?
And then he just, like, I forgot what he says to him. Or he Sento does ask him, like, are you Stark? And he just kind of smiles and then runs off, and I'm like...
And, of course, Sento chases him out into the night, and that's where the episode ends.
And, yeah, and then, so next week, Sento and Soichi fucking duke it out.
We get to see the henshin, finally!
Yeah, so, like, Soichi's, like, holding a transceiver gun, and I'm, like, I'm watching the episode... And, like, we see the preview, because, like, he doesn't answer, he just runs off, and then we see the preview of him holding the transceiver. Well, there we go!
The answer is yes!
I was actually thinking when the episode ended this, like, he never actually said, what if he isn't? And then it's like, oh.
Preview.
Yeah.
There it is.
He just, well, wouldn't it be funny if he was just pulling a Pallad and Dan, where, like, when Sento catches up to him, he's holding it, but he actually took it from someone else?
Oh, for fuck's sake, I hope not.
Oh... But no, it can't be, because it's got
to
be that.
But now it's just amazing to think that, like, this whole time, just Soichi's just been using Sento for his own game. Like, and it also explains why, like, because I was watching in one of the clips of, like, the compilation I was watching, like, you know, Night Rogue's about to, like, go capture Misora, and Stark just immediately jumps in and, like, helps Sento and Misora escape. And, like, he tells Night Rogue, he's like, you're not fucking following them.
Yeah, it doesn't
explain. So I'm like, there you go, he doesn't... Misora's still his daughter, so he's not going to let anything happen to her.
Are we even sure of that anymore?
She might be an alien or something.
Everything could be in question.
She's the Pandora's box!
Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if she was the Pandora.
What if she is? What if Misora is just
manifestation Pandora?
Of the Pandora box?
Misora, Pandora.
What if Misora came from it?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, and she has that bracelet. What if that's, like, the thing that's, like, in the inner...
I burst her through my mind,
No. That is it. It's the bullshit with Koyumi being the fucking Philosopher's Stone and Wizard. It's, you know, Mai getting the golden fruit and placed in her by Roshuo. Like, they're using that.
Thanks for the spoiler.
Misora is the Pandora's box, or is from it.
Misora's just made of hazard gas.
She's gonna be the plot device. She is already the plot device.
Yeah, like, that's not too... That wouldn't be too much of a surprise.
God, this show makes me think!
I don't like thinking!
No, good job, Bill. God damn.
Speaking of that, someone actually made a picture with all the babies that have been in Precure so far.
Oh, little babies.
And also next week, we get Rabbit Tag Sparkling!
God, that was fast.
Where the fuck does he pull that out of? Probably, besides his jacket, literally.
Maybe Soichi just kicks his ass really hard, and then he's just like, well, Rabbit Tag's not gonna fucking work. I need better Rabbit Tag!
Just like...
I need two Rabbit Tags!
No, you know what it is? Just like, fuck the rest of these bottles, smashes them open, and pours the hazard essence into Rabbit and Tank, and they just, like, evolve.
Yeah, what if he just, like, never uses Rabbit Tank ever again? It's just sparkling from now on.
I mean, it'd be a shame, but I wouldn't miss it too much.
So, now this makes me wonder. When he uses the hazard trigger with Rabbit Tank, is that stronger than sparkling?
Is it
I'm gonna say yes, because it's happening afterwards.
Huh. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
So now if I, yeah, like I said, when I get the hazard trigger, I'm putting that permanently on my gold driver with sparkling.
Sparkling hazard.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome. Goddamn.
Yeah.
Oh, Bill, you're so good. Keep it up, please.
Also, props to the show for giving Hawk Gatling and Nin Comics some screen time.
Yeah, right? Like, I'm worried that we're fucking probably never going to see, like, Kaiser Rush ever again. Or Key Dragon, for that matter.
That's less
likely. Key Dragon, probably, yeah, because that was like...
But it's my favorite line. Fuin no Fantasista.
It's like, Kaizoku Russia.
Teikoku no Hangyakusha. I like it. I like it.
Yep.
Cue the Ranger.
Yoshiraki!
So, before we talk about the episode, our Yosha Lucky counter was increased by 3 this week, bringing our total up to 286.
Q-Ranger, I'm gonna say something to you. When you do filler episodes, you do them good. They're fun.
They're fun and
they're
weird.
Fun with these cast of characters.
And they have good character development in them.
Yeah!
Which is what filler episodes should be for.
They make filler episodes really, really good. Really fun.
I'll admit that, yes, this episode was fun in a general sense, but there were way too many instances where I went, really?
First one the baseball stadium planet?
Fuck yeah!
It was a baseball stadium planet.
Honestly, my big one was when the Q Rangers just outright cheated, and then they got mad at the I almost said the Death Galleons, wrong season.
they basically are Death Game aliens now.
Yeah, they got mad at the Endeavors for cheating, even though they just cheated.
Also, I could be wrong, but like
protagonist-centered morality, it's goddamn Vanellope all over again.
The umpire who was like shouting out. I swear to God, that voice sounds exactly like Hentai Kamen. Because I can just hear that voice going, Cross Auto!
Cross Dragon!
Cross Dragon!
You can get up and know!
You can wake up and know!
Cross Dragon!
Wake up burning? Get Cross Dragon!
Oh no.
So this was a very Spada focused episode. We find out that he's like a real fucking pussy when it comes to sports. Like. Pretty much mean in goddamn nutshell, because like I had a very bad experience with baseball. Like, I'll regale you guys quickly.
Oh.
So like this is back when I was doing like my cross country volunteering, and so like this was when I was living in Halifax at the time. And so like we played baseball with like another volunteer group. And so we're playing and I'm on second base, and just all of a sudden like the guy, like one of the guys hits the ball. He's runs towards first, runs towards second, towards me, fucking tackles me to the fucking ground. I remember I fell on my back, bounced up, and back down on my back, and I was just like, and I could not move for like 2 minutes.
Okay, that's not baseball. That was death.
No, but the guy just, he was running so hard that he just forgot to stop.
Now, I'm not saying it's your fault, but when you saw him running, why didn't you run to the next base?
Because I thought, no, I was like second baseman.
Oh, you were the baseman.
That's why, yeah.
So he tackled you.
Yeah. Because he was an unstoppable force. It's because he couldn't stop running. Because, like, yeah. Anyways, he apologized profusely. It hurt a lot, but
An unstoppable force meets an un...
I'm afraid of, like... I know this is going to sound really fucking weird. I hate balls hitting me in the face. Like, it's not fun. That's why, like, I'm so glad I didn't have to do gym in high school because of my leg. So I got 4 instant credits for that. So, yay me. You had a leg up on them. I feel for Spada. Like, if I saw baseball coming at me, I would be like, ah! Like, Jesus Christ, no.
Well, I mean, most people would if it was coming right at them.
I mean,
he's coming right for us!
Well, you know what was funny? I thought, like, at first I didn't know if that's the reason he was kind of being so sketchy when they were, like, forming everything.
I love it. Blaze in the chat finished the sentence I didn't get to finish. An unstoppable force meets a very movable object.
Oh, jeez.
I am a very movable object. Very movable object! Pink caster leg!
I'm gonna really quickly just walk
crap. Cut this out.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. Keep it in. I'm just gonna say right now. God damn, does Sho Rompo fucking rock a pair of aviator sunglasses.
Agreed.
Coach Rompo. Like,
it was somehow simultaneously the most badass and hilarious thing I've ever seen.
No, it was like, I saw that and I had to pause when I was watching and I was like, do you just continue to be fucking badass, sir?
I just love it when the fucking baseball smacks off his head while he's wearing them.
Just, you fucking rock those glasses.
Is it my turn?
Well, it's because, like, fucking Raptor caught him off guard with it, yeah. So.
I just, like, I can't believe that I didn't predict this was going to happen because baseball is the sport that needs 9 players!
Oh, God,
fuck!
You're right.
And then, yeah, so apparently Lucky's never heard of baseball. And so he's like, which is
the show's reason to explain baseball to any of the children watching who might not know what baseball is.
No, but the thing, though, where baseball is actually really fucking popular in Japan.
I think it's their national pastime.
Yeah, like, they love baseball.
So much for America.
And just, like, the puns, because they use the Yakutama, which is great because the word for baseball is Yaku!
And they summon the uniforms and everything on them. And I'm like, God damn it, you
worst
guys.
Worst form change ever!
So, of course, Lucky not knowing how to fucking play baseball or what it is, he's apparently a naturally good pitcher.
Of course he is.
Because he's lucky, right?
Exactly.
And I don't mean like he's lucky, then he's lucky with the capital L. I mean,
like, which goes to later when, like, fucking, I forgot his name. Glovin. That was his fucking name.
You mean Glover?
Sure.
not Glover.
Glover.
Do we have any Glover?
A picture of Glover.
Oh my god! That's an old timey Grain Grumps joke.
Love it.
No, I mean Glover, like the video game.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about. No, we're talking about Danny Glover.
Because the joke, was the Grumps got a lot of copies of Glover.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so, like, later on, like, Glovin, like, grabs fucking Lucky and just, like, fucking breaks his arm.
Like, wails on him.
And
like,
I was like, holy shit, calm the fuck. Like, I was actually like, asshole.
They were just beating him up. Yeah, like, they beat up his wrist and you saw that it got all red.
People have, like, actually been seriously injured and traumatized from getting beat up with baseball bats. So that must have been pretty hard to watch for some people.
I can't believe they did that. So, like, he injures himself and then, like, fucking Lucky's luck draws in when, like, oh yeah, Mecha Monaco shows up to, like, be the pitcher, which I was happy. Like I said, I love Mecha Monaco, so I'm glad she's just gonna show up a lot more now.
And she just, like, foregoes actually pitching and just shoots her fucking gun.
Well, she's like, it's called Death Ball, motherfuckers! Death!
The one part where, near the end, where Mecha Monaco, if I'm allowed to say,
yep.
Where she was like, that's enough death ball. My first thought was, so now it's time for just death. And the subs immediately said exactly that. And it was just like, duh!
Fuck!
Yeah.
Oh, Goldcaster Anthony says hi, and he says he hates you all.
Love you.
He told me to make a joke.
I'm sorry,
so.
Anthony.
No, he's kidding.
Love you.
I don't.
Is he the one who made a bunch of dirty jokes in Quiplash?
No.
Oh.
Anthony's our editor.
Oh, that's the guy you tell to cut things out.
Yeah, Goldcaster.
Oh, yes.
But
I just love that one shot where Glovin fucking uses his bat to legitimately strike raid the entire outfield. just, like, whips the fucking bat.
No, but I liked when, like, Lucky goes up to bat even though his arm's injured, and, like, Monaco, like, throws the ball. And, like, I... Honestly, I don't remember exactly what happened, but, like...
He gets a home run.
No. The ball, like, I think passed him, but then he, like, apparently got thrown back by it and then hit the bat, the ball with the bat with one arm, and just, yeah.
He got a home run because of show.
It. And I was just like, oh, okay, he did it. Fucking awesome. Also, of course, and you know what's funny? I think Kotaro was having, like, a fucking... Pun intended, was having a ball because, like, you know, baseball, he's an earthling, so...
We'll have a barrel time!
A barrel time?
I don't know anymore.
He slapped for that. But no, it looked like he was having fun because, you know, like, he's an earth, so Earth loves baseball.
And then Glovin uses his dead killer and throws a pitch so hard at Tsurugi that it gives him Onari hair.
Oh, yeah, and then,
no,
like...
that was freaking Afro Gunso, the same joke.
And then, like, yeah. Freaking Balance and Naga, like, stop a Indube from, like, getting out or whatever like that, and they do, like, their own fucking version of, like
baseball version of the Kaito Bien.
Themes.
Did you notice at the start of the baseball match, Emily, Balance had thick-ass eyebrows on?
No.
I don't know why, but he did.
Oh, and they did their own roll call.
Yeah, that was so cute. Also, how long... Like 2 minutes ago, it is Sergeant Kenaro's birthday.
Happy birthday, Sergeant Kenaro.
Happy
birthday, Kenaro
Gunso. So it comes down to the end of the game, and Spada is up to bat in order to save the world, but he can't do it because he needs a montage.
So
a sports training montage.
So then, what the fuck? Rompo does what Rompo does best. Halt! It's getting dark out. Too much for ball. Let's continue this tomorrow. And Glovin's just like, you know what?
And by getting dark, I mean it's the middle of the day and we applied a subtle satin Photoshop effect while it's fucking high noon out.
That's not even...
Oh,
I was thinking
that too. It was like, that's... It's
very bright out. You just darkened the footage.
I thought that my phone was doing it. Like,
you thought your screen dimmed?
Yes, my screen dimmed. So I was like, okay. And I touched it. And it was just like...
You know what's funny?
And then it's getting too dark to play ball. That's a filter.
It's not even the first...
Right?
That's not even the first time I've seen someone do that. They did that in an episode of Ultraman Ginga where...
Ultraman?
Clearly, it's night, daytime out. They just put a fucking filter over the camera to make it look like it was nighttime.
I don't know why they couldn't have done it, because they did it in that episode with the dark dome in Curator,
yeah,
where they actually switched to night.
I don't know. But yeah, so Glovin, for some reason, was just like, okay, you know what? You have a point. All right, I'll see you bitches. I'll kill you guys tomorrow.
Like, does anyone in actual baseball do that?
No, you're not. No. You can forfeit, like, the team can forfeit the game if you want.
Like,
actually, if you get...
We
if,
don't
if
like our hitter sucks. Let's cut this one off and come back tomorrow.
Yeah, no. If a baseball team gets their asses kicked enough, they can forfeit the game.
Sure.
So, so then Spada's like, oh, I suck. I gotta get out of here. And runs off like a little bitch, and then Lucky goes to follow him. And then apparently they had, like, Lucky had, like, a secret training montage
all
with them.
Night.
And
the eye of the swordfish!
And Raptor, being the amazing stalker robot that she is,
yep.
Just watching and going, I'm so proud of you!
And somehow cries a tear.
We saw Balance do that at one point.
But at least he is, like, a life form.
Freaking sad eyes.
Straight up android.
Yeah, sad Balance is
yeah.
I hate sad Balance. No,
like Raptor
like
cries an actual
sad.
Tear somehow. And
a tear dropped out of her.
God, if they ever have, like, a special or in, like, a movie or something where they make Raptor, like, human.
Oh, I'd like to see. And she
God!
She would just be an inkling.
Well, it'll be Luca's voice actor. That's what you'll look like.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
And I love that Champ, after 40 episodes, calls Spada out on his bullshit. He's like, now, don't confuse baseball with cooking. You know, like
yes.
You do fucking everything else!
But then in the end, him using the same strategy as what...
Also, Champ's a terrible baseball player.
I win! By the way, cooking reference, you guys!
Champ having his little leaf in his mouth like Trico.
Yeah, and he was wearing the baseball uniform on his shoulder instead of his Q-Ranger jacket.
I'm sad we never got to see freaking Naga, like, up to bat. That would have been nice.
We did see that really cute dance he did with Balance about how good they are.
Yeah. So, the results of the all-night montage is... he remembers that his fucking helmet has a horn on it.
So he's like, instead of using a bat, I'll be the bat. And he like just fucking uses his nose to just fucking, yeah, exactly. There's no better way to describe it. He just, is the fucking ball out there. And like, obviously this was the really important point of the game too, because all bases were loaded. So if Spada gets the home run, it's a grand slam, which...
And they get enough points to win.
Yeah. But fucking Monica, being a little fucking bitch that she is, she like hits the ball and then it turns into like 8 balls and then she gets like 8 points and like, yeah. Oh! And sorry, I'm just gonna quickly mention this. Fucking Tsurugi comes up and he's just like, yeah, I'm a fucking badass baseball player. Fuck all of you.
I'm about to make
pitches
an
amazing
hit.
No, does softball pitches because softball pitches are underhanded.
Yeah.
So I'm like, are you pitching softball, you bastard?
Witness my legendary pitch, Phoenix Ball.
Legend all the time.
Well, because he thinks he's a badass motherfucker, and then
I just love it.
And
like,
then
he's like,
no, and he owns
ball.
It.
Yes.
No, you know what's funny? Like, you think. It would have been funny if it was, like, kind of like, you know, the boy who cried wolf, where, like, he thinks of himself as, like, such a legendary fucking badass motherfucker, and then he actually isn't.
But in the very first episode, we saw him slice a robot in half.
Tsurugi is! He defeated a bunch of fucking Monaimars, whatever the fuck they're called, by himself. He can do 10,000 sit-ups in a row. He killed Don Armage.
I figured it out.
What?
I know exactly what Toei is doing.
What?
With Tsurugi.
What?
They're trying to make the second coming of Kabuto.
Is he Sentai's Kabuto?
Oh my god, you bastards!
Okay, if there is ever another fucking Sentai Kamen Rider Tyson movie, we need Kamen Rider Kabuto versus fucking Ho Soldier. Make that happen, Toei. I know you're listening.
Kabuto, the Warrior of Time, and Ho Soldier, the Warrior of Space.
But no, I'm honestly fucking serious. Like, I'm sorry to say this, but like Garu's gone down on my list, and like Tsurugi's taking like the third spot. So now it's Lucky, Shorampo, and Tsurugi are my three favorite characters in Kirito. Because, like, Tsurugi's a badass! Like, I hated him at the start, but now he's a fucking badass motherfucker because he is a badass motherfucker! So, like, great job!
Fucking mothers across the cosmos! Hello, soldier!
Yeah, I was gonna badass. Say, like, didn't you hate him before?
I hated him before, now I fucking love Tsurugi, goddamn.
I love hating him.
Nandekota.
Nandekota. With a T, Nantekota.
Nantekota.
I love hating him.
No.
That's no.
No, so it was this episode where I was like, no, Tsurugi's one of my favorite characters. God damn it, I love him.
His name is even Tsurugi.
Fuck. No, I'm just gonna do you. Fuck!
God damn it!
God damn
it.
What?
Maybe I need to get his morph for now.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Come on.
Come on's the dick!
No! No!
I love saying
so, no! That doesn't even make sense, isn't it? The dick that, like...
Don't think about it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the baseball game devolves into actual combat.
This is about Spada, not Tsurugi.
And then they unlock Cassiopeia and use it to do actual Go Ranger Hurricane!
Yeah, no, they actually pulled a Go Ranger thing. And I was like... Oh, it was even like a rainbow-colored fucking baseball. I'm like, oh, I see what you're fucking doing. God damn it.
And then it turns into a fucking pennant. And the monster thinks he's won, but then... fuck!
He gets squished by the fucking... Like, it's
Tokuger!
Like, yeah, I was gonna say, it felt like they fired the fucking imagination gun at him.
God
damn.
So, whatever extra inning joke is the monster grows giant... And then, the long period of time where I was at peace because I had forgotten that Qtomagen existed comes to a crashing end.
Yeah, like, I see them, like, oh, they're gonna, like, fuse with, like, Super Kureno and Orion and all that shit. Just Qtomagen, I'm like, oh, yeah.
That's a thing, right?
Right.
Fucking giant. You know why?
Because
it's the Ball Zord in the baseball episode. And Orion's the batter.
Oh.
God! This was totally done all in advance.
This show, man. Oh, Key Ranger, you're adorable.
So they beat him, whatever, and then they, like, pull off a joke where the Zords are standing idly in respect because baseball.
Yup.
Fuck.
Fuck. Fuck!
Remember what I said at the start of this? That the episode was funny, but there were way too many moments where I was just like, come on.
No, but, like I said before, just Key Ranger does filler right. Like, they make it super fun. Like, it works with all the characters because they're all, like, their own person, and I had a blast watching it. Like, I had a blast with the Trials episode, I had a blast with this one, so, like, good on them. Good on you, Key Ranger. Good on you.
So, next week is a Garu episode.
Yeah, and they fight some guy apparently Garu knows.
Something about Hell's Gate, a samurai of some sort.
And Aslan?
Oh, yeah, Aslan dad shows is up. There somehow.
His father isn't dead.
Or is it another fake one?
God knows, it wouldn't surprise me.
Huh.
So yeah, that's the episode, and moving on to our feature topic. So, this is Girls in Trouble, Space Quad Zero, which is the side movie that is the precursor to Gavan vs. Decaranger.
And, wow.
Am I watching Gavan or Death Game Park? Jesus Christ.
Or the Yongo movie.
It's all in one.
Yeah.
Really dark and violent and...
sweaty.
And also explained its supposed plot holes pretty well, though.
Yeah.
And Monica's actor showed up, like Yoko from Gaim. That was cool.
It had Deca Pink, and Deca Yellow, and Marika, but not in character, and Shelly, a.k.a. Shinken Yellow.
And, it took me a bit to realize this, but also Tammy, a.k.a. Scheider's girlfriend.
A.k.a. Kamen Rider Birth's girlfriend.
Yeah. And, like, we even got, like, a shot of them just, like, kissing from, like, the movie, and I was just like... Because, like, I heard her say Tammy, and then, like, they described, like, who she was, like, what she was, and then I was like, wait a minute. Right, that was Scheider's girlfriend! I'm like, holy shit! And I'm like, yeah, Tammy! That's right, I fucking love Tammy! So
it starts off in some weird combination of, like, Death Game Park and Groundhog Day, where
like
each
of
the female space cops... are all in some sort of prison facility, and they wake up not knowing what the hell's going on, and promptly each gets murdered by this rampaging monster.
Yeah, even, like, the spraying blood effect that they used.
Yeah, they had an actual legit blood spray. There was some necks getting broken.
Yeah, like, fucking...
We saw that same footage of Jasmine getting her neck snapped at least four
Jasmine
times.
Jasmine got, like, killed, like, five times. Like, Jesus Christ. And, like, Yumeko kept getting this, like... It was funny with her, like, she kept, like, being like, oh, I was dreaming about, like, eating skewered pork, and then, like, I got skewered into the head. So, like, I woke up
Why are you talking so cutely about being violently murdered?
So, like, I woke up before I ate the skewered pork so I won't die.
I did! Oh, no! Dang it!
And, like, they remember when they happen, and, like, they find one of the girls later, and, like, she wrote in her blood, she's like, oh, this is my 17th death, like, avenge me.
Avenge me! Which is really weird, because now all of these women have to live with the muscle memory of knowing what it's like to die 17 times!
Yeah, that was... And then...
That's really fucked up police training!
But speaking of things that are... I'm not good at doing the interrupting thing, speaking of things that are repeated over and over, did we mention that Jasmine's an Esper?
Did you guys know Jasmine's an Esper and she can read memories by touching someone? They really fucking explained it again in this movie.
Pissed me off.
Every time they're going to do it, and they're going to do it again in Gavan vs. Decaranger. I'm ready to put money down!
They had the...
Oh, look who shows up!
Yellowcaster's here, everybody!
Oh, hi, Gar.
He's eating food, because he's hungry.
I hope you enjoy the food. I don't know what I'm saying, I'm sorry.
So yeah, so like they all find each other, like, and then they decide, oh, we need to work together to get this monster, which apparently is her name is. By the way, this is like literally an all female show. Like, we see some guys, but they all get fucking killed. But this is all about the women. Like,
girls in trouble.
They're all like in like short shorts, and they're all like super sweaty, and just like, damn.
And it was at that moment that you were all like, uh-oh. Girls in trouble. Silas come along and has skewered my forehead.
Hi, Gar.
Oh. Hi, home. Are you alright?
He just got home from work.
Okay.
He's tired.
Discord says hi.
Hi, Gar. And Gar is gone.
Well, I don't think he liked it.
Probably not. No comment. That's what you'd say.
More like Gar's in trouble.
No. That's the name of this episode.
No, you know what? The name of this episode is Octopus Week, because we had Octopus Light and Monaco.
Okay,
oh yeah,
sure.
There are two octopi in there.
Oh my god. Okay, can the thumbnail just be Octopus, like, build Octopus Light, but his shoulder is just Monaco's head?
Yeah, it's Monaco,
fucking
yeah.
Yes!
Yeah, there
That's
we go.
That's perfect.
Woo! Perfect. So yeah, like, the monster that they're fighting, her name is Helldiva.
Helvira.
Or Helvira, sorry.
Fucking Helvira!
Helvira is a pain!
Yeah, that was kind of hard to not laugh at.
My god. I will say that Umeko looks cute in this. Her new hairdo is neat.
I didn't actually recognize
her. I actually liked her ponytail more.
I didn't recognize her because of the hairstyle.
I didn't recognize Jasmine at first, because she was the first one that we see in the movie, and I'm
yeah, right.
Like, is that her? And then I'm like, oh, that's Jasmine.
Well,
like,
it's
okay.
Been like 12 years.
Yeah, that's true. Three. This movie came out this year, right? So,
well, Digger Ranger was like 2005, 13. Wasn't 13. It?
13, yeah. No, 2004.
Oh.
13.
Okay.
Yep.
But yeah, so they get murdered by this monster, and then wake up again alive. They're in a fucking police training simulation called the Mirage Dimension.
Well, yeah, it's the thing their fucking licenses can do.
Their licenses have the power to simulate and subvert death. Holy shit!
That's pretty amazing, actually.
Well, I mean, like, it was a simulation. It wasn't actually them there. Like, it was just their minds, so...
No, I know, but... The fact that they were talking about it after they revived means that they knew that it happened and they know what it felt like.
Mm-hmm.
To die.
That's
yeah.
A scary thing to have to live with for the rest of their lives. Yeah, I know what it's like to have died 17 times in different violent ways.
And the worst thing is you remember every fucking time.
Exactly.
So, like, fuck.
There was even one shot where, like, the monster triple kills them. Like, kills three of them at once with one shot of the fucking Amazon tongue thing it had going on.
Yeah, and they, like, defeat it by, like, Shelly using her laser vision to turn it into a parakeet.
Like,
yeah, she just bird.
Well, that because that's the thing that Shelly doesn't give on. She turns into a bird.
But why is it called laser vision?
Yeah, that seems like they just chose random.
Because
words.
80s metal heroes, fuck.
It doesn't involve lasers or vision.
Like, in one shot, she basically telefrags the thing with it.
Yeah,
somehow.
She burns it to death.
Yeah. Yeah, so... After they get out of the illusion, after defeating it finally with the help of Maki, who is played by Marika's actress, we find it, they flash back to where they all got recruited, and it turned out that they were all, like, asked to come here, and then they passed out because they drugged the tea!
You just see them all, like, drinking their tea, and they're just like, ah!
And then they like, gently fall to
onto
the tables.
Sure not,
oh,
yeah.
So, like, the person who's in charge of all this, the simulation that they're all freaking going under is Chief Birdie.
Who I mistook for Horror Girl at the start.
I mean, yeah.
This creepy woman in a bird mask going, ah!
Well, no, she's an actual alien, that's her head.
Apparently a Horus Sagan, so the same species as the actual SPD chief.
Yeah, but she's an actual, like, that's her actual head.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's fucked up.
It really
yeah.
looks like it's a mask, though.
And then we get introduced to, like, her assistant, like, Shishi?
Shishi.
Oh, yeah, Shishi. And like she's she comes in, like turns on the light. She's like, ah, I didn't turn on the lights forever. And like she's like, oh, I know you don't like bright lights, but you shouldn't be in the dark. It'll strain your eyes. So
Tammy, Shelley, and Maki get chosen to be the new space Sentai in order to hunt down Helvira and save Sophie, who is the director of the Galactic Police Association or some shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard to track this story since it's been a long time since I watched anything in Uchukeiji. But apparently Helvira releases some sort of gas that only kills men and doesn't affect the women. And my immediate comment was, like, as they're briefing the members who are going there, I hope none of you are lesbians! Because you're dead!
They never said that it had to do with, like...
Well, they said it was pheromones.
They did say it was pheromones, but...
So it can be implied that it only affects people who would be attracted to women. I'm more than happy to be wrong about that, but that was just a joke I thought of while we were watching.
Yeah, that's true. I wasn't thinking that it was specifically due to being attracted to women, or thought it was more...
Anything involving pheromones, yeah, that's pheromones usually the direction they go in. Like, if you resist the pheromones, it's because you're not a... You know, whatever.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
I know.
Movies are weird. And apparently this takes place on planet Bado, which has twin moons and a weird red glowy city. And just, you see the one shot of, like, the three of them leaping through the fans into the actual version of the prison from the training. And just, like, they nail the timing and get through the fans that are spinning pretty quickly. I just watched that scene, and it's like, as they drop in the fan.
Yeah, I saw that, I'm like, you all should have fucking died.
Yeah, that was a little...
Just like, goddamn. And we find out, oh, Maki's not actually Maki. It's like some Sailor Scout fucking Wonder Woman crossover.
Some Malshina-ass wannabe named Benny Kiba.
That too.
Who is absolutely from one of the 80s shows based on that costume, my god.
Yeah, and the music that's happening like during the fight with Tammy and stuff like that. So I was like, alright.
So it's at that point that Deca Yellow and Pink break in because they're not happy with not being chosen. And also they realize that Maki was evil, just like I did, because these shows are predictable.
I know. They transformed with a new sequence, and it was cool.
You see the transformation from, like, the outside perspective, and it's really awesome.
I'm sad they didn't go, like, face on, though.
I can kind of appreciate that, because, like... While we are still getting the Jasmine Esper explanations, I'm happy that it's not like, the dick of metal is face
on.
Oh,
I'm glad we didn't get that explanation. Christ. Thank fuck. So.
And then I'm pretty sure Shelly got her fucking head smashed in, and that was terrifying to watch.
Like, on a wall.
Right? Yeah, she got, like, her, she literally got, like, her fucking ass kicked. So I was like, fuck, man.
And then Tammy decides to release her limiter, a.k.a. her friendship bracelet.
She got at Animal Kingdom.
Which sends her into She-Hulk mode, which prompts at least 5-10 minutes of nothing but interesting karate, but panty shots for days.
I mean,
she
just
started tipping over, like, tables.
And... I was fine with that, but, like, fucking Tammy's a great fighter.
Like, it's clear this movie was marketed towards a specific audience. People who like death and people who just like women being sweaty.
It was
very clear from the start what kind of movie this was.
So then it ends up with Jasmine and Umeko fighting Helvira and like, oh yeah, like apparently the reason she becomes like a mindless beast is when like these two moons overlap each other and then...
No, what it was when the two moons of planet Bado align, she becomes sane. So it's like regular person.
That's interesting.
So any time outside of that alignment, she's a snarling beast. And then when she, like, when the moons align, her helmet transforms and, like, her mouth closes.
Yeah.
And then the helmet actually becomes pretty cool looking.
Yeah.
Which was great because they explained that Helvira was, like, the president of a company. And we were like, how the fuck does a snarling, ravenous, bloodthirsty beast run a company? And the answer was, oh, during the night of the full moons. Which is really fucking weird.
Yeah. And then,
so it's like she's only the president when she's not a crazy monster?
Yeah.
That's, like, very rarely?
I can just imagine, like, okay, schedule all 30 of my meetings for this one night. Just like transforms. Okay, we have to go over the budget.
So then Umeko and Jasmine try fighting her. They get their asses kicked. And then, like, they're like, oh, what the fuck do we do? And then, like Jasmine's like, oh, you're going to tell me something important. She's like, no, it's probably not the best time. And she's like, no, tell me. Oh, I'm going to marry Senchan. I'm like, we already knew that.
Which we predicted. But
they also already knew.
We knew that.
They were engaged.
Yeah.
So then they, like,
Blaze in our Discord chat is like, Tsurugi just should have come in and went, excuse me, I am the space president?
Yeah, no, that would have been great. So Tsurugi's like, fuck you.
You girls certainly are in trouble now.
I invented the space sheriffs.
I invented the
For
space.
For some reason, I'm the first thought one. You were going to say, I invented space.
He invented space. Is that really true, Professor Sexbang? Yeah.
Oh, wait, is that actually from something?
Yeah, from Ninja Sex Party Dinosaur.
Just ask Albert Einstein. He invented space. I mean, he did.
So they fake out Umeko getting killed again because they just use Mirage Dimension again. Oh, boy.
It was really funny because, like, you see them both, topple over and then, like, on, like, either side of their face, blood trickles down, and then just, they both just, shots of them just going, bleh, bleh.
And now we are the dead, bleh.
Yeah.
And then Jasmine, like, as she was dying, just suddenly, like, jerks her head over in another direction. I'm gonna look this way while I die. I don't want to look at your face.
So then they get some shots in, they just fucking use their partner name, which is still the Twin Cam Angel.
Ultra Super Deluxe Crash! Fuck you!
Fuck you. And they beat Elvira and they save the universe, and then...
And then they have to calm down the Hulk. But instead of insisting that the sun's getting low, a lesbian kiss happens.
Yeah,
and everyone is okay with it.
Yeah, like...
I was joking when I said that...
You predicted that 5 seconds before it happened!
I was making a joke, and then it happened. I was just like,
Yeah, Umeko just, like, Decapate just goes up and kisses fucking Tammy, and literally immediately snaps her out of it.
I love she was like, Senchan, forgive me. Meanwhile, he's just in the background going, do it again.
He's just in the corner just be like... Yeah.
That's like, he's like standing upside down on the wall watching.
That's terrible.
I think this is really hot.
Oh, guys.
Oh, that's gross. That's great. I can just see him doing like the face that like Jack Nicholson does in Anger Management where he's just like, yes.
And Blaze in our chat is just like, Tsurugi yells from off camera, do it again!
That was legendary!
That was a legendary kiss!
No!
Oh my god, this ended up way funnier.
See, Tsurugi makes everything fun.
And then we see...
He gets that boa out of...
And then we see Mad Gallant in the ending scene, who I forgot about, but is awesome.
Yeah, no, that fucking helmet is super cool. I can't wait to see him in the movie.
I'm looking forward to seeing him in Gamon vs. Deckeranger.
And then, in the credits, we see all their deaths again.
We get
really
to recap everyone's deaths.
Like, they show Jasmine doing, like, cool Jasmine stuff, and then just shows up hard
but it's
snap
like this,
her neck,
this
and I'm like, God.
Weird song where they, like, mentioned Les Mis for some reason.
And they say, like, hallelujah. And
girls say hallelujah.
It was really weird.
Girls
yeah,
say hallelujah.
And it wasn't the only time. Like, there was this one scene earlier in the movie where they play happy pop female idol music. While they're getting murdered!
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it was all five of them singing a song together.
While they were getting
Wouldn't shock me,
wouldn't
but
shock me
that
all.
Doesn't mean that it was appropriate to play a fucking vocal insert song during gratuitous murder!
No.
It's almost as bad as singing Jingle Bells before murdering Tyria!
Oh my god. It wasn't Jingle Bells, it was people.
That's why I said it wasn't as bad.
No, it wasn't Jingle Bells. It was like
I still hands down one of my favorite fucking scenes in X8, period. Forever. Forever. They made a full version of that song, too.
Yeah.
I need it. But honestly, overall, I enjoyed this movie.
Yeah, despite all its weirdness and gratuitous bloodshed, I don't regret watching it.
Yeah, no, like, it was good. It, like, had Gavon, like I said, like, it brought in the girls of Deckeranger, the girls of Gavon, and, like, it
that's
was, like, apparently Shelley became her own space sheriff, so that's good for her.
Well, maybe she just meant that in the sense, like, I work for the company.
No, I think she's actually, like, a space sheriff, because Tammy is also a space sheriff.
I would love to see their armored forms.
I don't think they have armor.
Fuck!
Because Gavon's...
Title.
Oh, it's... Yeah, it's
the space sheriff title.
That's what I thought.
Oh, yeah. So only guys get armor?
Thank you, Gar.
That's sexist. I want to see Uchu Keiji Shelly.
No, it's just kind of strange. Not really. What?
Hi. I said thank you, Gar. Oh. What did you think of Girls in Trouble?
I didn't watch it.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Are you going to watch it?
What do you think of Gar's in Trouble?
I miss
We're not
you.
Watching the movie.
Wait, what was that, Emily?
No, I just said, what do you think of Girls in Trouble in general?
The song's actually pretty decent. I don't actually have a cover of it, but I do like the Akiba Ranger cover of it.
Oh, it's a song?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a Deca Pink and Deca Yellow's duo theme.
Oh, that's actually the name of their theme?
Yes, Girls in Trouble.
Christ.
Oh, that makes sense then.
Cool. Surprise, it's not Twin Cam Angels.
That's still God, kind
that's
of
such
a terrible
awful
name
yeah. for
a
fucking duo. Hey, come. Stay a while and listen.
Well, we're about to end, so.
But yeah, so go watch it. It's a good time.
Especially if you're a girl and or you're in trouble.
You're in trouble.
I was happy.
Something's come along.
I was happy to see.
And it's burst our bubble.
I was happy to see Tammy back because I loved Tammy in the Shider movie. Shider's best Uchu Keiji. Oh, I'm sorry, Gar ate all my peanut butter M&Ms.
Shider's the guy. Durr.
Ha! Now I have the dragon bottle, Gar. It's a flashlight.
Okay. It's a flashlight?
No, Gar has a flashlight.
What is that?
Anyways, we're clearly running out of fucks to give, so thank you all for listening to another episode of Cast Ranger.
Thank you for listening.
As always, the primary source of our hijinks is castranger.podbean.com.
Yep.
Please also subscribe to us on YouTube. We just hit 290 subs on YouTube this
Damn
week.
Right, we
we're
did.
Almost at 300.
Yep.
Yeah. That. Don't forget to check out our Discord, which if you listen in on Friday nights, you can listen to our recording live. Hooray!
Hooray!
Check out our merchandise store, which has had a lot of sales, especially this month since it's Christmas time.
Oh, really? Who bought stuff?
No, I'm saying that stuff is on sale.
Oh, okay.
So if you want to pick up any of our Cast Ranger merch, it's cheap as you can get it right now.
Yep.
As always, you can check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/rscastranger, tweet at us at Ixie Studios, and please check out and consider pledging to our Patreon to help us make the show better for you and also get the video game done that we're working on. Our first Megazord sprites are currently being worked on. So that's exciting. If you join the Patreon, you get to see them before the game comes out.
Good night, everybody!
Thank you for listening, everyone.
Damn it, say goodnight.
Oh, sorry.
Radio Sentai Cast Ranger is brought to you by our generous patrons, Oliver Nilsson, and viewers like you.